From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Altar at Ebal, The Cross, The Answer to the Curse. Following the victory at Ai, rather than pressing forward with the conquest of Canaan, Joshua stopped to build an altar at Mount Ebal. In so doing, he was obeying the instructions of Moses, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 27. In the midst of the campaign, Joshua stopped to remind the people of Israel that God's word must be obeyed, for upon that altar were inscribed the words of the Ten Commandments. According to the passage in Deuteronomy, Mount Ebal was the place of blessing, while its opposite, Mount Gerizim, was the place of the curse. In applying Joshua's actions to Christ's work on the cross, Dr. Cairns explained that the curse under which man and all creation have labored since Adam was imposed by the breach of God's law. As we'll see today, that curse was removed by Christ's obedience unto death on Calvary's cross. Before Dr. Cairns returns to the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's meditation comes from three texts, Jude 1, sanctified by God the Father, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, through sanctification of the Spirit. Mark the union of the three divine persons in all their gracious acts. How unwisely do those believers talk who make preferences in the persons of the Trinity, who think of Jesus as if he were the embodiment of everything lovely and gracious, while the Father they regard as severely just, but destitute of kindness. Equally wrong are they who magnify the decree of the Father and the atonement of the Son, so as to depreciate the work of the Spirit. In deeds of grace, none of the persons of the Trinity acts apart from the rest. They are as united in their deeds as in their essence. In their love towards the chosen, they are one. And in the actions which flow from that great central source, they are still undivided. Specially notice this in the matter of sanctification. While we may, without mistake, speak of sanctification as the work of the Spirit, yet we must take heed that we do not view it as if the Father and the Son had no part therein. It is correct to speak of sanctification as the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit. Still does Jehovah say, Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And thus we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See the value which God sets upon real holiness, since the three persons in the Trinity are represented as co-working to produce a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you, believer, as the follower of Christ, must also set a high value upon holiness, upon purity of life and godliness of conversation. Value the blood of Christ as the foundation of your hope, but never speak disparagingly of the work of the Spirit, which is your meetness for the inheritance of the saints in light. This day, let us so live as to manifest the work of the triune God in us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
the soul that sinneth, it shall die, in fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3, because there Adam did begin to die. Death worked in his body from that second onwards. It ultimately brought him down to the grave. Notice how it accelerates. In those early days, sin took 900 years to destroy the body of Adam. Now it does it in just a few years. And with all the glories, and I don't say that in any facetious way, in all the glories of modern medical science, the boast is that they have been able to lift the life expectancy of men to somewhere between 70 and 80 years. That's how long at most it's going to take for sin to curse and destroy your body and bring your soul into eternity. But the soul itself, laboring under the curse, quitting the body, without Christ, is launched out into the darkness of a never-ending death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What a curse sin brought. Pain, suffering, death. These are all the curse of God on sin. And they exist because man broke God's law. The curse was imposed by the breach of the law. Time forbids that I start to make you think of the moral implications of that in your life today. Because I want to tell you, there is still an intimate connection between breaking God's law and plunging more deeply than ever into the curse. The Bible does not warrant us in saying that every sickness, every suffering, every pain, every disastrous circumstance can be traced to some immediate cause in your own sin. That would be a total misrepresentation. Sometimes we are suffering just because we're human. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're not exempt from that. This is a veil of tears. The blind man in John 9 was not blind because of any particular sin of his or any particular sin of his parents. Jesus said that. Job's sufferings were not because of sin. In fact, in his case, they were because of holiness. But having said that, there are many sins, as Paul says, some men's sins are open. They bring them down to the grave. I have in my mind a picture of a little girl, 16 years old. And if you had looked at her face, you'd have thought it was the face of a 30-year-old woman who had lived a hard life. You'd have been half right, because between the ages of 12 and 16, that young girl lived the life of the utmost debauchery, depravity, and wickedness. And at 16, she was all washed up. The direct result of sin. And however much the government tries to get around it, however much the medical authorities connive to get around it, the epidemic of AIDS that is sweeping America is the result of sin. Now, there are people who have got that thing without their own sin, and your heart has to go out to anybody who suffers death in that way, but especially those who through a blood transfusion or some other way over which they had no control have been infected with AIDS. But the reality is that for the vast majority of people who suffer it, it is the most avoidable disease in existence. You have cause and effect, sin and the curse. You do not break God's law with impunity. You do not fly in the face of your Creator without feeling the results. God imposed the curse and God maintains the curse on the breach of His law. But the second truth of the altar is that the curse was removed by Christ's obedience to the law. And that was the great significance of the altar in Ebal. God raised an altar where? On the Mount of the Curse. Why? Because by the work that went on at the altar, God dealt with the curse. Now that's fundamental to the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no way of dealing with the curse by any attempt through personal righteousness to remove it. I have said that personal unrighteousness leads you more and more deeply into it. By sin, we are under the curse. There's no way around that. But it is not by personal righteousness that we get out from under the curse. Joshua did not raise the law to these people and tell them, by your obedience, you will get out from under the curse. Now, as I show you in future weeks, he was certainly inculcating obedience to the law of God on their behalf. But he was getting to something here much more fundamental, that you can't begin to live a life of obedience that will in any way or to any degree please God until the curse has been removed by the merits of the work of the sacrifice that took place at the altar. That's the fundamental meaning of the gospel. Through the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, the curse imposed on the first Adam is reversed and removed. The Lord Jesus, the last Adam, acted not for himself, but for all his people. For his people, he lived a sinless life in obedience to the law. For his people, he died an atoning death to pay the penalty of the law. For his people, he planted his cross in the soil of the curse. And as Paul said, he was made a curse for them. Isn't that the very truth of Galatians 3:13? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You know, sometimes, I don't say this to you and leave me out. Sometimes I think that Christians must be the hardest hearted people and the dumbest minded people in existence, and I include myself. We come to a text like that and it just rolls off our tongue and it sails over our head. It doesn't move our hearts. Listen, we're talking about the Son of God made flesh. We're talking about the second person of the Trinity coming into the world, taking a human body and a human soul into union with himself and going to Calvary. We're talking about the sinless, spotless Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not only dying, that's terrible in itself, but, says Paul, being made a curse. being made a curse. There is no way to evacuate those words of the fullness of their awful meaning, that the full fury of the curse and the wrath and the hatred of God against sin fell on Christ. Not because he was personally hated of God, but because, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us. So that as Christ died on the cross, legally he was the embodiment of all that God cursed. What an awful picture. But that's how God deals with the curse. And now the curse is gone for all for whom Christ acted. It's gone. In Christ, who was made a curse for us, in Christ, who was made sin for us, in Christ, we have redemption. And redemption is the very reversal of the curse through his blood. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. There again you have the reference to the cross planted in the ground of the curse, but the precious blood reversing and removing the curse. Because Christ, his own self, bore our sins in his body on the tree. Now that's the gospel. The curse is gone. Raises a very interesting question, of course. If the curse is gone, why do Christians suffer and why do Christians die? Well, Paul answers that in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. He says, we which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of the body. Ephesians 1:14, he says the Holy Spirit is the earnest or the down payment or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, Christ has purchased redemption. It is now applied to our sin as to its guilt. It will be applied at the resurrection to the body as well, when we are purged from the very presence of sin. You see, it's the Lord's purpose to give the whole church of the firstborn ones a place in one mighty act of resurrection and glorification. Through the cross of Christ, the curse is reversed and removed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.